This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. The U.S. Supreme Court made history on Friday with the 5-4 ruling on marriage equality. Texas and 13 other states were no longer able to outlaw same-sex marriage, but many Texas state leaders were not welcoming that ruling, particularly Attorney General Ken Paxton. He's advising county clerks across the state that they're not required to follow the Supreme Court's ruling if they have religious objections to homosexual marriage. For more on that, we turn to the Texas Public Radio Capitol reporter, Ryan Poppy. Ryan, you there?
Dave, thanks for having me.
Okay, Ryan, let me ask you, how are counties reacting to Paxton's opinion?
Well, initially, more of the conservative counties that you would think of, Williamson County, Milam, Collin County, they ask for an interpretation of the Supreme Court's ruling. And then, of course, Paxton's opinion came out and there was a little. They were holding marriage license. Now there were some of the 22 counties that weren't issuing marriage license. They weren't doing so for logistic reasons, but most of those initial ones, I think, were just looking at it for religious purposes.
Okay. So, gay marriage proponents held a rally today. Who was there, and what did they say?
The rally. There was the Texas Freedom Network, the ACLU of Texas, Equality Texas, and basically they were telling folks, listen, county clerks cannot overrule this decision by saying religious liberty and not issuing a marriage license, and we are here to back that up with our own legal support.
So there is now talk of a special session from the legislature that would have to be called by the Governor Greg Abbott that would address this issue. So what's being talked about?
Well, Representative David Simpson, a Republican from Longview, has sent a request, and there's a few Republicans that are signing on to that request, that petition for the governor to call a special session. He's asking that government in general get out of the marriage business, that he says marriage is between a person's God and the couple themselves, and it's that covenant between that group, not government, that should be solidified. So he's asking for a complete divorce, government divorce from marriage.
Okay, so Ryan, what I'm going to do, I spoke to Trey Martinez Fisher just a little while ago, and he's a San Antonio State Representative, and he's a leader of the Democratic Caucus in Austin, and here's what he had to say about the situation.
I think it's unfortunate and disappointing for our state's Attorney General to just blatantly ignore a ruling from the United States Supreme Court. I think that this, any Civics 101 lesson will tell you that the Supreme Court establishes the law of the land, and no attorney general can just decide on his own and advise people to violate the law. And I think it's very clear in his analysis is you do not have to enforce this law, but you may get in trouble for it. And so I think that speaks volumes.
Attorney General, as well as other state elected officials, took an oath of office, which included to uphold the U.S. Constitution. It's contradicting that, but is this impeachable?
Whether it's impeachable, I think, is certainly an open question. But, clearly, Texas has laws, as it relates to local governments, but they have laws on removal of, of somebody from office for official misconduct and so forth. I mean, I think you take an oath, you swear an oath, your fidelity is to that Constitution.
So, Ryan Poppy, up in Austin, any talk of impeachment if Attorney General Ken Paxton is found in contempt of following the Supreme Court ruling?
Nothing more than what, we're hearing from folks like Trey and others. I'm not aware of anything officially getting filed. There has been, he's not the only one making those similar remarks. Just on Friday, Neil Lane said exactly the same thing, that if you are elected to public office, you're elected to uphold the U.S. Constitution and the state constitution, and you've been, you've sworn an oath, and if you can't uphold that oath, then you need to leave public office with your personal beliefs.
Ryan Poppy, the Texas Public Radio Capitol reporter. Ryan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so we're going to learn more about the legal framework for the thinking about where we are now with this Supreme Court decision and how Texas is able to establish its objections to it and still, you know, be part of the United States and the Constitution system that we have here. We bring in Mark Cochran. He's a professor at St. Mary's University Law School, and William Eskridge, professor of jurisprudence at Yale Law School. So, Mark, welcome to The Source. Thanks for joining us in the studio.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
So as we work our way through this, you're saying that the actual opinion of Ken Paxton and his rhetoric that we see from him are very different.
I think they are somewhat different. I will give you a couple of examples. This is from the press release. There's incendiary rhetoric, things like the Supreme Court has ignored the text and spirit of the Constitution to manufacture a right that simply does not exist, lawless ruling, lawless decision, flawed ruling, and so on. Now you get to, and I'll give you one more here at the end. He says, Texans must speak with one voice against this lawlessness. But then you get to the text of the opinion, and I suppose maybe the press release is intended for voters and the attorney general's opinion is intended for lawyers. But the opinion, he starts out, or in the second paragraph, acknowledges that this newly minted federal constitutional right to same-sex marriage can and should peaceably coexist with the longstanding constitutional and statutory rights, including the right to free exercise of religion and freedom of speech. Now, the thrust of the opinion is that an individual county clerk, he says, has a statutory right to delegate a duty to a deputy clerk, including the issuance of same-sex marriage licenses, if that duty would violate the county clerk's sincerely held religious beliefs.
All right, so let me just explore that for a second. So the attorney general is telling these clerks, county clerks, that if you have a problem with it individually, maybe your assistant or someone else in the office can handle it for you. We're not going to shut down that county clerk's office, and you can't shut it down. But maybe, you know, if it's distasteful to you, well, you know, get someone else to do it.
Yes, I think that is the thrust here. And he goes on.
Well, that's a big difference than what we've got from his. You know, so we're going to talk more about all this. There's a lot to unpack here and to explore. We're going to open up our phone lines. This is a community conversation. We definitely want to hear from the folks out there. What are your thoughts? How is this impacting you? The new Supreme Court ruling about marriage equality in the United States. This is The Source on KSTX. Number is 210-614-8980. Back in 1 minute. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about marriage equality now, the law of the land in the United States. Still some resistance here in Texas and other states, Louisiana, Mississippi. We have in the studio Mark Cochran, professor at St. Mary's University School of Law. He was just telling us about the differences between the actual legal opinion that we got from Attorney General Ken Paxton and his public press release. And we also have with us Mark Eskridge. He is professor of jurisprudence at Yale Law School. So, William, let me ask you about how this is not the first time the Supreme Court has issued a bombshell decision, Brown versus the Board of Education, Roe v. Wade. Is this usually how states react to these types of things?
Well, you're right. Brown versus the Board of Education triggered much more massive resistance in the South than so far Obergefell, the marriage case, has done in places like Texas. And so some resistance and certainly objection is inevitable. And don't forget that people do have the option of trying to amend the Constitution. A number of Republican candidates for president are opposing that route. So there are other ways in civil disobedience or officials refusing to do their job to respond to a decision of this magnitude. I'd also like to make a distinction that's relevant to the Attorney General's actual opinion, which is appropriately what we're talking about. The Attorney General makes two kinds of arguments. One is that clerks have a free exercise clause, First Amendment constitutional right not to issue marriage licenses. And that argument, unfortunately, is ungrounded in the case law, which the Attorney General regretfully fails to discuss. And the second argument is a statutory argument. The constitutional rights that he refers to, the free exercise rights, are now governed by the Supreme Court precedent Smith versus Employment Division. It was written by Justice Scalia back in the 1990s. And
sure, Justice that's the peyote decision.
That, exactly. Oregon was applying its peyote criminalization laws to a bona fide sacrament of a Native American tribe.
And Scalia said, no, you can't. If people are allowed to do this, there'll be a law unto themselves.
Yes, and what he held, and this is still the constitutional law of the land, is that a law of general application can be applied without any kind of free exercise problem if it's applied to everybody evenly. And so the law of general application is that clerks have got to issue marriage licenses to everybody who qualifies. It's a law of general application, even though it's true, it is going to ruffle sincere religious beliefs of some of the government employees. Scalia's point, which is often Scalia's point, is that the Constitution does not give a remedy for all kinds of dignitary harms. So it's not unconstitutional, and as far as I can tell from Justice Scalia's leading opinion, these clerks do not have a constitutional right. And if the Attorney General's opinion suggests otherwise, he does need to read Justice Scalia's jurisprudence in the area. Now, I think the more serious point made by the Attorney General's legal memo is that the clerks might have a statutory right, and that's much better taken, though you might have to have more analysis than the Attorney General delivers in his opinion. He cites to the Federal Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which was passed in response to the Scalia opinion in the peyote case, let's call it. Now, unfortunately, the Supreme Court, again with Scalia in the majority, but an opinion written by Justice Kennedy, so Scalia, Kennedy, Rehnquist, et al., ruled that the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, RFRA, cannot constitutionally be applied to the states.
Right, so and, again, that, and that's another case. That's, that was Bernie v. Flores that was here in the San Antonio area. Let me get a caller on the air. That is Kimberly has called in. Kimberly, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have an issue. You had mentioned that Texas official Simpson was making a statement that that the state should get out of the act of marriage completely, that marriage is between a man, a woman, and his God, her God. I am an atheist. So my question is, does that mean I'm not allowed to get married because I don't have a God? I want to see how they can answer that one.
Okay, Kimberly.
I'll take your response off the air. Thank you.
All right, appreciate that. So let me ask you about that, Mark Cochran, professor of law at St. Mary's University. Getting married, while it happens in a church very much, but it's really a contract. It's a civil exchange.
Certainly, and you know, I mean, not to take the issue completely off the table, but I don't see Texas getting out of the marriage business on the civil side.
Right. Because, you know, we have property, exchange of property becoming one, and then that's a big part of it. So that's what makes this complicated. Professor Eskridge over at Yale Law School, marriage, what role does the government have in marriage?
Well, in my opinion, I agree with the other professor. Marriage is three different things. Marriage is a cultural institution that people aspire to, including atheists, a lot of Americans. Want to get married, it's very meaningful to them. It's a religious institution, often sanctified by a church, but that's separate. And it's also a civil institution that's represented by the state. And I agree, I don't think Texas or many other states are going to get out of the marriage business anytime soon. And indeed, maybe that's one of the things that gives marriage the power that it has in our society, which was emphasized very much in Justice Kennedy's opinion the other day in the marriage case. And that is that marriage is the confluence of three different powerful reinforcing traditions, culture and people's aspirations and fantasies, religion and people's faith, and then the state, which gives hundreds of legal rights, benefits, and a lot of obligations when people get married civilly. But even in today's Texas, you can get married in the church, but not have it recognized by the state. If you don't get a marriage license, you can still get married. It just won't be recognized by the state. You can get married in a civil cultural ceremony in your backyard and not have it recognized by the church or by the state if you don't go to a church to get it or if you don't get a state marriage license. So marriage really is something that is not tied inevitably or inexorably to any one of these three traditions. But for most people, it is a combination of all three together.
We get another caller on the air with Stephen. Stephen, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Okay. I was just considering the Attorney General's opinion that on religious grounds they can refuse to issue a license. You know, the Bible also says that people who are divorced and remarried are committing adultery. So does that mean if I have a religious scruple about that, I could refuse to issue a marriage license? I mean, that could be played out in any number of ways. People with religious objections to interracial marriage or whatever. You know, you can't. That just seems rather ridiculous to me that it, when you open that door, you'd be opening it to anybody's religious conscience.
Sure.
As to what they should or shouldn't do.
All right, so let me ask Professor Eskridge about that. Does this mean that county clerks can use their religious objection for anything? If I go in to get a marriage license and I'm mixing fibers, that's something they can object to?
Well, under the Attorney General's opinion, possibly so. I do want to pursue the caller's excellent question, and I do, for your listeners who are religious, I would urge them to read the book of Matthew in the Gospels. And the book of Matthew, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, says that it is adultery if a man remarries after discarding his wife, previous wife, for reasons other than adultery. So I don't know that that would affect the issuance of an original marriage license. Maybe a new license for the second wife, if the marriage license clerk knew that this was an adulterous second marriage, then that might be a very good reason for the clerk to say, well, I just can't issue this license. Moreover, a judge in Texas might be able to invoke the Attorney General's opinion in a divorce, saying, no, I cannot grant a divorce because it's contrary to the word of the Lord as expressed in the Gospels. So, yeah, the Attorney General is opening up Pandora's box by sort of unleashing religious objections as a reason not to do your job as either a marriage license clerk or as a judge presiding over a divorce case.
One more caller with Josh. Josh, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
I'm really listening and interested in this idea that marriage is three different things to the citizen and then to the government, the church, and to our society. And I'm really curious as to if a lot of this could have been avoided, if, and I hate to use the word demoted, but I will, if marriage had been, let's say, taken off of its pedestal and demoted to the status of civil union, then the government would only be in the business of issuing civil unions to everybody, and that would have provided equal rights to anyone who is unions according to the state, and it wouldn't have infringed on the religious right and their view of,
sure,
of marriage.
Okay, Josh, great question. I'm going to get an answer for you. So Professor Mark Cochran at St. Mary's University.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting question. My sense is that you would have the same kind of objection to same-sex civil unions that you have to same-sex marriage. And one of the consequences of the Obergefell decision is what now happens in those states that do have civil unions. Do they become superfluous if same-sex spouses can get real married? Is there any more need for domestic partnership or civil union or those other kind of quasi-marriage statuses that other states had adopted short of actual marriage?
And William Eskridge, professor of jurisprudence at Yale University, want to join in on that?
Yes, absolutely. I agree with the caller. The state, if it wanted to, could simply get out of the marriage business and say, we're no longer going to issue marriage licenses. Religions are perfectly free and encouraged to engage in religious marriages and celebrate them and whatnot, and people can engage in private ceremonies as well. But we're just going to issue civil unions, and we're going to give the benefits and obligations and whatnot that are now associated with marriage, or maybe more and maybe less, to people, and we can give them civil union certificates and make it all a government sort of thing. The advantage of that would be that it would get government out of the marriage business and some of the religious associations with that, and that would also be the disadvantage, because a lot of the power of marriage comes from the fact that it is a confluence of cultural fantasy and support, religious endorsement and deepening of faith, and all of these civil benefits and obligations that the state confers,
and
all within this great umbrella institution of marriage.
And an important part of the human condition, a rite of passage and a part of the community. Thank you so much. I appreciate all of your input. William Eskridge, professor of jurisprudence at Yale University. Also with me in the studio, Mark Cochran from St. Mary's. This is The Source. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're continuing our discussion of marriage equality, that ruling that came from the Supreme Court on Friday. Earlier today, I spoke with the Reverend Linda Martella-Witsit about how the San Antonio Unitarian Church will be celebrating the ruling.
Several months ago, in anticipation of the Supreme Court's positive ruling, we planned a wedding day for same-sex couples. We're calling it Freedom to Say I Do Wedding Day. We're holding it on Saturday, July 4th, because we thought that was just a perfect day for such a celebration.
Freedom to Say I Do, that's another way to look at the marriage equality, which the Supreme Court ruled in favor of on Friday.
Yes, and that was our intent, was to simply be supportive of couples that, were wanting to marry legally and had not had the opportunity, especially in the state of Texas. So we wanted to be supportive and think in advance about how we might do that. So we're planning a series throughout the day of 26 wedding ceremonies so that each couple will have their scheduled time for a ceremony and be able to invite 12 guests along with them. Some of my lay leaders that are qualified to be able to officiate at ceremonies are going to conduct the ceremonies. We have a whole group of volunteers, I think probably 40 volunteers on hand that day, to do everything from helping them to navigate our small campus, from taking the couples from their ceremonies to a reception space, which we're going to have a rolling reception, a cupcake reception all day long. We'll have a photography corner with one of our photographers that will be taking complimentary pictures of the couple.
It sounds like you've got a marriage prom going on.
We do. It's going to be really exciting.
When did y'all start planning this?
About 3 months ago.
And y'all were confident that it would work out for you?
You know, for me, this is faith. We're a faith community. And this is really the height of faith, is to see what we do believe is the right course of action, and then to stand in it. And so, you know, faith prepares itself. You prepare yourself for that eventuality so that we just knew when the time came, we wanted to be ready.
Public opinion changing so quickly over the years in regards to marriage equality. Are you surprised about how rapidly the change has come?
I suppose in some ways I am. And in other ways, you know, it had been going on for a very long time. I mean, throughout my lifetime. And in recent years, we saw just the escalation of wrongdoing. We saw the violence perpetrated against people just because of who they were. I was in Omaha, Nebraska in 1995 when Matthew Shepard, a young 18-year-old kid, was just brutally assaulted and left for dead. And it was just a stunning reminder of the hate for people for by no fault of their own being who they were created to be, you know. And I myself have a history of that kind of change. I and my husband married 35 years ago. My husband is of African descent. I'm of Italian descent. And, you know, it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy back then.
There's still those who have not gotten on board, who are still saying that this is a violation of biblical marriage?
Yeah, there are those who believe that. Here's the way I think about it, is that the Bible was written at a period in history for a group of people who saw God and themselves in a certain way. And their rules for life and what was right and wrong, all of that came out of their worldview at the time. I think as a historical document, you know, it falls short because it was never intended to be literal history. But it certainly does have some inspiration in there for us. But, you know, if you were to read every line in the scriptures as fact, then there'd be many other things that people who are objecting to civil rights for same-sex couples, they would never agree to some of these laws from the past. I mean, that a father could murder his own son if he disobeyed him. I mean, come on, these were written in those very same pages. So to me, I just can't see it from a legalistic, biblical legalistic point of view.
But there are people who have very deep, rich faith, and that's part of it. They grew up being told marriage is between one man and one woman, and that this is not acceptable in the eyes of God. This is what they sincerely, deeply believe. How do you think these people should deal with this?
I think the way to deal with all of our differences is respect. That's the only way I know. I don't expect everyone to see the world the way I do, and I certainly know people don't see it the way I do. And I also believe that there's a difference between our religious differences and our respect for one another's different positions about important matters and our ability to be civil to one another and to respect one another. So I would love to see, I'm just going to cast a vision here, what I'd love to see is that energy that has gone into just rancorous disagreement, that we can find areas of agreement with people of good faith who disagree with us. We can. There's lots of critical issues right in our city of San Antonio. Child abuse, for example, which is one of the most persistent and pernicious problems in our community.
But we're getting off topic here. So what if a county clerk is very serious about their religious belief about one man, one woman, and they don't want to issue a same-sex marriage license to a same-sex couple?
Well, I believe they're in the public arena. If they want to go work for their church and then have a right within their church to say we won't marry a couple or we won't extend that right, then in terms of their religion, that's reasonable. But when they're in the public place where, you know, it's okay for us to hold religious differences and yet we agree to civil behavior and to follow the laws, I think they have to comply with that.
Good luck this weekend on July 4th. You're going to be doing a lot of marrying and throwing rice and celebrating and hugging people. Are you ready for all that?
I am so ready because it's a real celebration. I'm very grateful to be a part of it and to do my part to just honor and be respectful of people's individual choices for love.
And thank you so much, Linda Martello-Witset, author of Divine Audacity, Dare to Be the Light of the World. And she is the senior minister at Unity Church in San Antonio. They're planning a same-sex wedding event, a mega event, on July the 4th.
You're welcome, and thank you.
And you're listening to The Source on KSTX, and we're going to be going to a one-minute break, and we're going to open up the phone lines. We're going to bring your comments in here as we talk about your reaction to the same-sex ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court that came down on Friday. The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980, and you can also email us at thesource@tpr.org. And when we come back from the break, we'll also get comments from the San Antonio Family Association, what they're telling their people about the new rulings. This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be back. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. A quick correction, I misspoke when I was introducing the Reverend Linda Martello-Witset. It's the San Antonio Unity Church. That was the actual name of the church where they're having their July 4th mega weddings, 26 same-sex weddings they're going to be having there this weekend. Now, we just bring in another voice into the conversation. We have with us in the studio Patrick Van Dolen. He is with the San Antonio Family Association, along with Brad Wheeler, a lawyer and communications member for the San Antonio Family Association. And also still with us in the studio, we have Mark Cochran, professor at St. Mary's University School of Law. So let me ask you, Patrick, the San Antonio Family Association, what is the reaction to the Supreme Court ruling?
Well, thank you for having us on the show and being able to give our input here. San Antonio Family Association exists to protect, defend, and promote the family in the city of San Antonio and surrounding area. And the Supreme Court has made a myopic decision in which impacts and hurts the family. And primarily, children. They didn't take into account that children have a right to be raised and reared by a mom and a dad. And they should not be forced to be put in a situation where they're raised by two people of the same sex. They have a right to be raised by mom and dad. And there's evidence-based studies that show that children are far better off and prosper as young children and growing into maturity, that they far better off scholastically, emotionally, psychologically, in every form of aspect of life in which they are raised by a mom and a dad who are committed in marriage. So this is an attack on the family as it undermines and takes a jackhammer to the bedrock of society, marriage. It attacks the family because the family as the building block of society rests on that strong, needs that strong platform formation, foundation. And if they took a jackhammer to the foundation as they have done, they put a crack in it and that hurts the family as a result.
So tell me how that's resonating with your members as when they hear this message from you. How are they going to move forward? Because this is now the law of the land, and your opposition is not going to change that.
Yeah, I'll take that question.
Okay, I think, Brad Wheeler, you're the lawyer?
I am a lawyer. I'm also an ordained minister, and I do communications with the San Antonio Family Association. I think the way we look at it is the fight somewhat moves into culture and how do we continue to educate the culture and promote the ideas of traditional marriage and the good and the health of the family. I think one of the focuses that San Antonio Family Association has to take is to be engaged in culture building and in promoting the view of the family and educating people why the traditional family is the best kind of family for children and doing that. I also think we need to be preparing people for the narrowing of religious freedoms that are taking place with this ruling. We've already seen in states where same-sex marriage has been legal, such as New Mexico, how Elaine Photography's religious freedoms were denied, and she was fined terribly for not participating in a same-sex wedding ceremony and being the photographer there. So I think it raises a lot of issues. One, continuing to educate people and to gain ground within the culture for traditional marriage, and then on the other hand, preparing people in dealing with the narrowing of their religious freedoms in regards to this issue.
But the decision has been made by the Supreme Court. This is going to happen. This is the law. Do you see anything that's going to change that?
You know, here's what I would say. this decision didn't happen in a vacuum. The decision was the effect of a lot of lobbying, a lot of political action. It's been building for years before we even got to the point where this decision is. And so basically, in a sense, the culture war was won, and this decision was a highly political and cultural driven decision. To pretend like the court isn't a political isn't being political in this decision. Well, the dissenters themselves are arguing that the court was being political in changing the core definition of what marriage is. And so it may take generations to gain substantive ground, but you know, this isn't something that goes away. Those of us who believe in traditional marriage, those of us who take a biblical view and want to preserve our biblical freedoms in what the family is and being able to practice that, not just believe that in the public square. We are, our right of a free religious exercise extends to our workplace. It extends to where we are in all of life. If we're going to do that, then we got to continue to build and to work toward those goals.
So you see this as a long fight, like the Roe v. Wade, which has taken many, many years, and trying to come up with ways to incrementalize the abortion rights in America. Is that it?
I think what it is you never give up on truth, and truth is always worth contending for. And truth is, you know, if we live by less than the truth, then we're living less than human lives. And so I think for the sake of our culture, you contend and continue to contend for truth. And so whether it's incrementally that we work toward making changes, or whether it's continuing to educate, to share, to let people know what the truth is, I think we have to be committed to that fight.
Okay, so we have a Supreme Court decision came down on Friday that marriage equality is now the law of the land. That's going to happen. I don't see how that impacts the family. Do you think there's going to be fewer opposite sex marriages now because this ruling has happened? This is somehow going to hurt people? Because that's what you said, that this is an attack on the family. I'm still trying to wrap my head around that, because they have other states that have had same-sex marriage for quite a while, and they still have families.
Well, actually, let's look at what was said in the dissent, especially Roberts. He said, basically, the core definition of marriage has been changed. And they cite that this is a definition that prior to 15 years ago, nobody had. And if you read through Roberts' dissent and you look at what Roberts said, he cited example after example of legal definitions of what marriage has been throughout United States history. And none of them ever included anything outside of a union between a man and a woman. Are you suggesting that we can change the core definition of what a marriage is?
I'm not. The
is?
Majority of the Supreme Court did.
Well, no. Your question to me particularly was,
I'm just trying to understand, you know, your position and how we move forward.
And what I would say is, when you change the core definition of anything, there are ripple effects, and there are things that are definitely affected. How does that affect the family? Okay, well, you look at our educational system, and you look at children going to the school. Now the socialization with the public schools broadens what a healthy family would be, broadens what a family is. So our kids are going to be socially engineered against our faith beliefs if we are sending them to public schools. You look at the fact that there's already been talk about the possibility of churches losing their tax exempt status, of federal loans being withheld from universities, student loans that do not agree with this decision. There are a lot of religious freedom issues that are taking place in this.
So have any churches lost their tax status because of this in other states?
Have they lost it yet? No, but there is talk about it.
Yeah, so it has not happened.
It hasn't been the law of the land yet.
Right. Well, it has happened in other states. You know, they've had these type things for a while, and so that has not happened yet.
But it's a federal issue now. In other states, the tax exempt status isn't a state. It's a federal.
Okay, so how, I mean, this is, we have a society. We all got to get together. We all have to work together. It's not great to have friction and conflict here. You have your beliefs, your core sincerely held beliefs, mm-hmm. and no one is doubting that or wants mm-hmm. to take that away from you. Yet we have other folks who their sincere beliefs are like a man and a man and a woman, they love each other and they're committed to each other for the rest of their lives, and they just don't want to have interference. So how, can we get together? Is there compromise? Is there room for mutual respect here?
Well, I'll take that one if you would, Brent. There's mutual respect from a standpoint of every individual deserves to be treated with dignity and respect and not be discriminated against based on being a human. And however, government has a duty and responsibility to safeguard public morality and to protect the family. And when social measures are not there, the government has a duty to step in and do that. And what they've done here is actually the opposite of doing that. As marriage is the bedrock and foundation for the family, which then the family is the building block of society, we need that foundation to be strong. Well, in the natural world, in natural law, it takes a woman and a man to unite and procreate in that bond of matrimony, preferably. But so from that standpoint, when you have a government entity that is promoting something other than marriage, we now are in a situation where cohabitation of heterosexuals exceeds over 50% of all heterosexual couples. That's not good for society. And it's proven that if heterosexual couples have cohabitated in any way prior to their marriage, that they have a 55% greater likelihood of, or 55% likelihood of having a civil divorce. That's 15% higher.
So y'all working towards laws to change that?
In regards to no-fault divorces, yes.
And in regards to outlawing cohabitation, are you against that? Do you have protest against that?
Well, we don't have protest against that as we did a marriage rally on Friday afternoon. But do we provide education on that? Absolutely. We provide education on the basis of what's good for the individual. If you truly love somebody, you want the highest and best thing for them. And that includes where they find peace and joy and good health. So in the second case, in 2011, when the city of San Antonio began officially recognizing extending benefits through domestic partner benefits in the 2012 budget, they had a government entity condone lifestyles, unnatural lifestyles, and homosexuality as a result to city employees. Since that time, the Bexar County Metropolitan Health District has determined that San Antonio is now number one in the state of Texas for syphilis rates. Well, syphilis rates, and you go into that research, the Bexar County Metropolitan Hospital District also says that 92% of all syphilis cases are caused by MSM. That's male sex with male.
Sure.
So there are ramifications.
And we're going to be talking about that tomorrow on our program tomorrow. That's one of the topics we're going to be tackling. But, you know, you said it's a political process. Will you be looking for a political solution?
I don't think political solution is the immediate. I think education and impacting the culture. I think through the churches speaking out, through people acting, through continuing to keep the discussion in the public square, I think that's the way to do it.
All right. Thank you so much. And that was Brad Wheeler. He is with the San Antonio Family Association. And also we were joined by Patrick Von Dolan. He is also a leader at the San Antonio Family Association. And this is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is produced by Paul Flav and David Martin Davies. Our engineer is Doug DeMore. Management and oversight provided by News Director Shelley Koffler and VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Production assistance is provided by me, Ruben Garcia. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation and the GAC Health Foundation.
Tomorrow on The Source, San Antonio continues to lead the state in syphilis cases. This is despite a year-long effort to try to get ahead of the outbreak. What else needs to be done and why it matters to you on The Source, tomorrow at 3 on KSTX.
Support for KSTX comes from Birkenstock General Store and Leather Goods, with Birkenstock sandals and shoes, naturally supported footwear inspired by the foot's imprint, at the Strand, Quarry Market, and online at BirkenstockGeneralStore.com.